You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, I don't think it should come as any surprise that the younger generation across the board in the United States has drunk deeply from the wells of postmodernism, drunk deeply from the streams of the sexual revolution. So to discover, according to the Washington Post, that in a new poll, evangelicals who are younger tend to favor same-sex marriage, or at least are willing to tolerate same-sex marriage more than older evangelicals, none of that should come as any surprise. What is the reason for this, and what does it bode for the future of evangelicals and their attitudes towards same-sex marriage? Joining us to talk about this new poll, Sarah Pulliam Bailey, religion reporter for the Washington Post, author of a recent story titled "Poll Shows a Dramatic Generational Divide in White Evangelical Attitudes on Gay Marriage." Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we talk about the numbers themselves, what kind of explanations did you discover in your research for this gap on opinions regarding same-sex marriage among white evangelicals?
I think it depends on who you talk to, Todd. I think some people feel like, you know, with the legalization of gay marriage a couple years ago, this is an inevitable shift. With the change in the law, you'll see a change in public opinion as well. But also, I think we do see generally like a difference in attitude among younger evangelicals. They tend to be more politically liberal than their parents. And then also, I think some people will say, again, it all depends on who you talk to. Some people feel like younger evangelicals have friends who are in gay marriages, or they know people who want to get married. And so, and that changes their views on the issue. And then some people feel like young people don't have as theologically rigorous views as their parents do, or they have a more idealistic view of the world. So like I said, it all depends on who you talk to, but I definitely see a shift in these polls.
So what are the numbers that stand out to you in this latest poll about attitudes on gay marriage?
Yes, in the last poll, they found that almost half of younger evangelicals, that's Generation X and millennials, so evangelicals born after 1964, favor gay marriage. So that's a significant jump from the last poll that they had. And then their parents, older evangelicals, either baby boomers and older, they come in around 26%. So almost a jump of 25%, almost 25% more than younger evangelicals favor gay marriage than their parents. And again, this is a significant shift from the last poll they did. The last poll they did, younger evangelicals were not that far apart from older evangelicals. It was closer to something like, you know, younger evangelicals said 30% of them, around 30% of them favored gay marriage versus 25% of their parents. So we do see that like shift between polls. And I think I would point to the Supreme Court case on gay marriage, that just, again, when you see something become legal, it tends to change attitudes and opinion.
Do you think it might also simply have to do with, or were you able to tease apart kind of two nuances of the response? One would be someone who's actively in favor of same-sex marriage, and another might just be, at least in terms of polling, kind of libertarian, which is, I don't really care one way or the other. Were you able to see differences there?
Yeah, I was. I think what's interesting is we can also look at some data from the General Social Survey. What we see from the General Social Survey is that even though white evangelicals, these younger evangelicals, feel this way about gay marriage, they say that homosexual relations are always wrong or nearly always wrong. This is 75% of white evangelicals. And that generational gap on those views are not that, is that generational gap is not that wide. So what we're seeing is that, like, I hear phrases like, well, I think politically gay marriage is okay, but I still don't think it's okay, or I don't want to see it in my church. Those are kind of phrases that I hear younger evangelicals saying.
Does it reflect a trend in evangelicals as a whole on their attitudes toward same-sex marriage? Where do they stand as a whole in America?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we find that all religious groups have grown in their support for gay marriage in the last couple of years. So all evangelicals total are up in their support for gay marriage, but they are still the least likely religious group to support gay marriage. White evangelicals and Black Protestants are the least likely to support gay marriage. But again, that trend is still going up. So if you think in 2001, this is this is, I think, before Massachusetts legalized gay marriage, just 13% of white evangelicals supported gay marriage. And now that's up to 35% this year.
You focused a little bit in your story on the largest churches in America, usually called mega churches. What did you discover mm-hmm. there with regard to both attitudes and attempts to change those attitudes?
So it's interesting because I think a lot of churches are struggling with the particulars of this question. You know, a lot of them say, oh, we welcome gay people who are gay, but we ask them to remain celibate. Otherwise they can't be members or they can't be in leadership. I think that's, you know, what you would find in a lot of evangelical churches. But I think some of the conversations are changing. We haven't seen any, like, mega church pastor that I know of has not come out in favor of gay marriage that I can think of. Now, I could be wrong. I could be not think of someone. But for the most part, we see that they still believe, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's what they would practice in their church. But I think I'm watching to see in a couple, you know, in 5 to 10 years from now, are some of the bigger churches going to shift in their policy? A lot of it right now, it seems to be kind of don't ask, don't tell. And I don't know how long that's going to last.
Then what did you find out? You've written briefly about this organization, Reformation Project. What is going on with that?
So the Reformation Project is a kind of an organization that was created by Matthew Vines. He dropped out of Harvard University to start it. The idea is to get churches and evangelicals to change their attitudes on LGBT issues. They want them to become more what they consider LGBT affirming. And so what Matthew Vines is doing is he's trying to create conversations. He's trying to connect with leaders around the country. The most recent one he did was at a megachurch in Orlando, where Joel Hunter is a megachurch pastor there. He hosted a conversation with Matthew Vines recently about the LGBT community. And that was really in response to the Pulse shooting, if you remember last year, the large shooting in a gay nightclub. And what Joel Hunter told at least the local newspaper there was that, you know, his church is not changing its position on gay marriage, but he wanted to build these bridges. And so I wonder, I don't know if that's like a sign of the times or if that's more specific to Orlando.
So it's interesting that while, at least in the case of Joel Hunter there, while he has no plans to change, he's still willing to have an organization like the Reformation Project, or at least host them for some kind of a hearing.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think, again, I asked Joel Hunter if he would do an interview, and he declined. He said, you know, no more hot topics, basically. So I am wondering, you know, how much of this is tied to just, like, we need to build relationships and physically be in touch with people in the LGBT community, and he sees Matthew Vines as a bridge, you know, someone who can help him make those connections. I'm not sure, because, like you said, he is willing to have somebody like Matthew Vines, who is intending to change attitudes, hearts and minds on this issue.
Do you think that there's a trend at work here, especially since one generation follows another, if the younger generation of evangelicals have changed their attitudes? Do you think that change is permanent, number one, and do you think that means that 10 years from now, we're going to be seeing a very different landscape when it comes to evangelicals and attitudes towards same-sex marriage.
So I say yes, just based on, I don't think these attitudes are changing the other way around. And at some point, the younger evangelicals will become the older evangelicals and will become the leaders of institutions. And I think there's going to be some kind of big challenges ahead. I really do. I think institutions are going to have to make some hard choices. They're going to have to decide, you know, is this a kind of a make or break issue for us? Because it's kind of a tricky situation either way. If they change their stance, they stand to lose constituents. If they don't, they stand the same thing. So it's kind of a catch-22, I think, right now. But I do think we will see shifts going forward, at least as we look at gay attitudes on gay marriage. We know that the attitudes have changed so dramatically compared to other issues. You know, if you look at other attitude shifts on climate change or poverty or other issues, this has just changed so rapidly in the last decade or so.
One other question, and that has to do with a distinction made by some evangelicals that you note near the end of your story, and that is between allowing it as social policy or a legal entity and allowing it as sanctioned by evangelical churches themselves. What did you find out?
I think it's hard to say, but I mean, when I talked to a guy named Glenn Stanton at Focus on the Family, he feels like, you know, once something is made legal, like he used the example of pot, when something like pot is made legal, people see it as normal and institutionalized. And so I think with gay marriage, you know, as it becomes normalized, as, you know, people have friends who are married, who are in a gay marriage, I think their attitudes are going to continue to shift. And I do think that more and more pastors are going to find themselves on this trajectory. I don't know how quickly. I don't know if that's going to be in the next, you know, I couldn't even begin to predict. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's soon. If you look at not that evangelicals necessarily follow mainline Protestantism, but mainline Protestant denominations almost all now support and have gay marriages in their church. And I wouldn't be surprised if some evangelicals will follow suit in the future.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is the religion reporter for The Washington Post. She is author of a recent story there titled "Poll Shows a Dramatic Generational Divide in White Evangelical Attitudes on Gay Marriage." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, etc., Pastor Peter Speckert will join us. We're going to talk about some recent statements made by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg on church and community memberships. Then we'll teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, Joseph caring for Jacob in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Hour 2 of Issues, etc., in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.